This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
When you're on stage, there is more power than you can believe. I mean, there's enough electricity to throw a Chevy about 9 city blocks.
And Chad P.
Why is it that anytime we describe someone having an aha moment, their tone completely changes?
Class is in.
Hey, good afternoon. This is the Rock School Radio Show, fresh and clean and no caffeine, right here on the Rock School Radio Network.
Did you just make that up yourself?
I did. Did it rhyme and everything?
Yes, it did.
I can bring it. Oh, that's right. My name is Joe Burns. I am a co-host here of this radio program. Who is my co-host over there eating his trail mix? What's your name, kiddo?
Chad P.
All right, Chad. Now, you've played in bands.
Yes, I have.
I played in bands. Did you ever hurt yourself on stage?
I'm the drummer. I hurt myself all the time.
Well, that's true. I mean, seriously. But I mean, really hurt yourself, other than like little cuts on the fingers, anything like that.
I was setting up a rototom one time and lost my footing and just completely...
To the hospital by any chance?
No, never that serious.
Brad Paisley was walking down one of those ramps they now have on either side of the stage.
Yeah.
Tripped and fell and broke his nose. That's the truth. Steven Tyler.
Oh, he's notorious for it.
Oh, sure. Now, other than being drunk and high and all that and collapsing on stage, he actually, August 5th of 2009, Sturgis, South Dakota, fell off the stage. There was no music at the time. Apparently, they lost power, and he was just dancing to entertain the crowd.
Yeah.
Nosedive right off the edge of the stage. What? Broke his shoulder. Broke his shoulder on the whole thing.
There was another time that he was playing, and he and Joe Perry were back-to-back, and
Perry knocked him off.
He kind of bumped Perry, and Perry bumped him back, and whoop.
Down he went. Down Are you talking went. About Toronto's Air Canada Center?
Could be.
In August 8th, 2010?
Yeah, maybe.
The stage is a dangerous place, Chad.
Yes, it is.
And if you spend a lot of time on stage, you can get hurt.
You're going to get hurt, son.
And what I have here is an hour's worth of stories of rock stars who have been hurt and, believe it or not, died.
What?
On stage.
Wow.
Oh, no. People don't die on stage. Oh, yeah. People actually die.
Wow.
On stage. Now, here's a story of a guy that hasn't died on stage, but it's one of these that, I mean, right after I finished putting the information together for this show, this happened. On January 26, 2011, Jimmy Buffett is playing in Sydney.
Okay.
And you know how stages are in sections?
Yes.
Okay. At the front of the stage, which is like a little T, so he can walk out into the crowd.
Sure.
Somebody apparently didn't quite put a section in correctly and double bolt it and what have you.
Oh, no.
Jimmy Buffett is playing Fins.
Yeah?
Goes walking out in that little T into the crowd. Hey, how's everybody? Down. And gravity took its course, and down he went into a large opening on the stage. Cuts his head open and is rendered unconscious for 10 minutes. Now, Jimmy Buffett is no longer a spring chicken.
No, he's not.
You know what I mean?
But he still moves around like he tried to in the back in the day.
But down he goes. And the paramedic said, g'day, your head's broken, pal. So there you go. But for the rest of the hour, more stories of rock stars doing really bad stuff to themselves and some of them dying on stage because the stage is not a safe place. It is dangerous. Here is Buffett right here. Rock School.
She came down from Cincinnati. It took her 3 days on a train. Looking...
Let me ask you a quick question.
Shoot.
Is the whole show going to be about a guy or a gal who falls off a stage?
A lot of it, but we also have a lot of stories of people who died.
Yeah,
and I have two little stories about people who died on stage.
Pardon me for asking.
Well, no. Johnny Guitar Watson dies on stage May 17th, 1996.
So he died on stage.
On stage.
Okay.
I mean dead.
Dead.
Yeah, dead.
Not
dead.
Quasi-dead.
Just dead. Not the Diet Coke of dead, but dead. He dies on tour in Yokohama, Japan, according to reports. He's playing a guitar solo, and he's playing the song Ain't That a Witch with a B.
Sure.
He apparently says, he screams out the name of the song, Ain't That a... Boom. Massive heart attack, drops dead on stage.
Wow.
On stage. Are you familiar with a guy named Johnny Ace?
Yeah, Johnny Ace.
Johnny Ace, big singer back in the early 1950s, late 1940s, had a big number one hit song with My Song.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Elton John My Song, but his own My Song. He was known for touring around with Big Mama Thornton, who had the original song, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, which Elvis Presley covered. From the book, The Late Great Johnny Ace, apparently, and this comes from, by the way, Big Mama Thornton's bass player, Curtis Tillman.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this guy, Johnny Ace, liked to play around with handguns. And he was playing around at the City Auditorium in Houston on Christmas 1954.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. During a break between sets, he's backstage sort of waving around this .22 pistol.
Oh, you know where this is going.
And he's joking around. He's pointing at people. And Big Mama Thornton is with him in his backstage dressing room, and she's yelling at him, don't point that gun, don't point that gun. And he said, look, it's not loaded. He points it at his face and shoots it.
That's never a good idea.
Kills himself dead right there, and Big Mama Thornton comes tearing out of the dressing room yelling, Johnny Ace just killed himself.
Mm.
And that's... You know, are you kidding me? So, and that's happened before, actually. Happened to a Beach Boy, happened to the lead guitarist of Chicago. But Johnny Ace, not loaded, boom.
That is not how you prove that a gun's not loaded.
Oh, you're not kidding. Well, you don't shoot it, period.
No.
But at least point it at the floor.
Right, exactly.
So here's Johnny Ace, My Song, his big first number one hit, 1952. And shooting yourself kind of puts an end to that string of number one hits you wanted to have.
Yeah.
Here it goes. Rock School.
Oh, me. That you would leave me here in tears. Now you're gone and I seem like... Darling, I sing my song.
Okay, I have other stories of people dying on stage, but let's get back to another one that does not have a death ending. Here's just another...
Yeah, because you know me, I like to keep it positive.
Okay, well, this is kind of a fun story.
Sticks of people falling.
The guy who it happened to actually makes fun of it. So when I was reading the little story of it, he found it kind of interesting and kind of funny after the fact, but I'm sure while it happened.
Right.
Ace Frehley, the lead guitarist of Kiss... Okay, I'm going to play one of Ace Frehley's solo things, so if you're not a Kiss fan, don't go, ah, not another Kiss song. Oh, we're going to play one from Ace Frehley's solo stuff. In 1976, when you're on stage, there is more power than you can believe. I mean, there's enough electricity to throw a Chevy about nine city blocks.
There's a lot.
Yeah. And when you're just playing with a little practice amp and a guitar, you think to yourself, you know, come on, you're not, this isn't going to be enough electricity to do any damage.
Hmm.
When you're pushing a house speaker system, you have to set that thing up correctly, grounding it and making sure that that cord that's plugged into the guitar isn't part of the circuitry.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it is, then what's going to happen is the moment the guitarist steps on something that's metal, he will complete the circuit.
And he'll become part of the flow.
Right. He will become part of the run and boof.
Boof.
That happened to Ace Frehley.
Oh, no.
In 1976, he almost dies after being electrocuted at a show in Lakeland, Florida. The fans thought it was part of the show because Frehley's guitar, you know, shoots sparks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah!
Right. He steps on something electric, something that completes a circuit and bow!
Became a circuit himself.
It blows him from his spot on stage to behind the drums. So we're talking about a 20-foot throw.
Wow.
He says he wakes up. He can't. He says his hand is a burnt.
I bet.
He can't feel his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He can't feel his eyes,
uh-huh.
although he can see. And he's saying, I can't play. I can't play. Although he can't feel them,
mm-hmm.
they're operable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's moving them.
Don't tell me he said he could play faster after that.
No, and it's nothing like that. It's not like he gained superpowers.
Uh-huh.
But he said the fans just started cheering his name, and he finished the concert. But afterwards, he had to have work done on his fingers because electricity, when it comes out, it doesn't cut you. It blows the skin open.
So he summoned the power to finish the show.
Right.
And then afterwards at the hospital said,
yeah,
man, that was dumb.
Yeah. Stage is a dangerous place, man. Here's Ace Frehley.
Wow.
New York groove. Rock School.
I bet the fat guy named Al, who was in charge of that power, was fired on the spot.
You gotta believe. You gotta believe.
You have to grind these things. Look at my hands.
Yeah, blown open. Have you ever heard of a band called the Rubinoos?
No.
No, I hadn't either until I started researching this show. The Rubinoos were a little power pop band. R-U-B-I-N-O-O-S. I assume Rubinoos is how you say it.
That's what it looks like.
I can't imagine pronouncing it any other way. Well, back in 1977, these guys have a hit with Tommy James, I Think We're Alone Now.
Okay.
Okay. Not big here,
mm-hmm.
but over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know those t-shirts that say, I'm big in Europe, I'm big in Japan?
Yes.
They really were.
Uh-huh.
They were big in Europe. Well, they take this cover of Tommy James' I Think We're Alone Now, and they go over, and they are given their first big break in Germany.
Ah,
and they're
Germany.
Playing on a televised something in Germany. I never did find the name of the show. The guitarist, Tommy Dunbar, says, during our last tune, their lead singer, Mike, that's all I got, Mike was his name, was doing sort of a James Brown thing where you throw the mic down and you step on the base of the mic and it comes back.
The mic stand?
Yeah, the mic stand and it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you throw it away from you, you step on the stand, it comes right back.
Right.
Mike didn't do it right.
Oh, no.
Mike stepped too hard. The microphone came back, smashed him in the face. It knocked out his two front teeth and broke his nose.
Wow.
So now Mike is literally covered in blood.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is a live television show.
And the audience thought it was part of the show.
Apparently. And they're playing all of this live.
Right.
And they refuse to stop the song.
Mm-hmm.
Mike is actually, while he's singing I Think We're Alone Now, fishing his own teeth out of his mouth, attempting to save them, I guess for later, trying to find some German doctor who will put them back into his face.
Oh,
they finished the song as blood is gushing from his nose and his face.
Yeah.
I don't have anything more about the group other than the song, I Think We're Alone Now, but that's the story of the Rubinoos. Remember, the stage is a dangerous place,
right.
Chad. And here they are. I Think We're Alone Now. I actually found the song.
Oh, cool deal.
Sounds like this.
I Think We're Alone Now. Put my teeth back in now.
It actually sounds like this. I Think We're Alone Now. Rock School.
Children behave. That's what they say when we're together. And watch how you play.
This is Rock School as we do the topic, the stage is a dangerous place.
Mm-hmm.
We do a real quick one going into the break here. You know Wycliffe Jean?
I sure do.
When he played at the Woodstock Festival of 1999,
mm-hmm.
did you hear that he attempted to recreate the Jimi Hendrix Star Spangled Banner?
No, I did
not. Okay, well, he played it and apparently played it fairly well. But then he tried to recreate at the end of it the Monterey Pop version.
He didn't try to
light it on fire.
Oh, no.
He did. Laid the guitar down in white Stratocaster, poured, you know, whatever you call it, some kind of accelerant on it, I assume, sure. Gasoline or something, lit it on fire. The problem was he was wearing the same kind of long-sleeved, frilly shirt that Hendrix wore. And he got some of the accelerant on his shirt.
Set himself on fire.
And he set himself on fire. Fortunately, there were people there that could put him out. So, you know, kind of a NASCAR over the wall and put him out real quick. But he actually did get second-degree burns over his playing hand and up his arm. Yeah, don't do that. You know why Jimi Hendrix lit his guitar on fire? So you wouldn't have to. Hello, KLSU. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, where stage safety is a first.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I believe there's an entire class on it at
there
the university
is.
That's there. Get us on Facebook. We are somewhere around 185 friends, and we're trying to top 200. Let's see if you're the 200th. And a great prize will be coming your way.
Like what?
An email from us. How cherished will that be? Look for Rock School Radio Show, and how cherished will that email be? Gosh. Back in a minute, Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about the topic. The stage is a dangerous place. Here's a question I never thought I'd ask another man.
What?
Chad, do you know what a cod piece is?
What?
You know what a cod piece is? C-O-D-P-I-E-C-E.
Can't say that on the air.
A cod piece. Well, yeah, you can say cod piece. It's a little triangular type thing you wear over top of your... Okay?
All right. Let me ask you... No, let me turn it back on you. Before researching the show, do you know what a cod piece was?
Sadly, yes. Blackie Lawless of Wasp wears a cod piece on stage.
Why?
Well... It's part of his getup, you know, heavy metal, studs, black leather, that kind of stuff. Well, he wears one. In the mid-80s, Blackie Lawless had a cod piece made for himself that would shoot sparks and fireworks from it.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
He had a cod piece made for himself. I like the fact that we're saying the word cod piece a lot. Had a cod piece made for himself that would shoot fireworks from it. So he would be playing his bass guitar. Pull the guitar out of the way and boom, fireworks and stuff would shoot forth from
the
codpiece area.
Uh-huh.
Everybody following this?
Got it.
Okay, I draw you a picture, but we're on the radio. Well, the first night he tries to use it, the codpiece, on the very first night, the codpiece explodes.
Codpiece malfunction.
Oh, yes, a codpiece malfunction. Explodes, according to him, lifting him a foot and a half into the air. Catching his pants on fire and giving him second-degree burns on his legs and his you-know-what.
And the people thought it was part of the show.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Who sold me this defunct cod piece?
That's right. Later that night, in the dressing rooms, Blackie Lawless stated that he commented to his bandmates, "You know, fellas, if we wrote better songs, we wouldn't have to do this kind of stuff." Here's Wasp. I want to be somebody.
I bet you do.
Apparently with a cod piece.
Rock
school.
Does the cod piece have a warranty? You say you don't want to run and hide a place that no one knows. And everyone you meet, you're going to show. You're nobody's slave, nobody.
There's Blackie Lawless and Wasp and... the cod piece, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, have you ever had an accident on stage?
No, and I knew you were going to ask me that.
Have you ever wore a cod piece on stage?
Yes, no. No, the worst that ever happened, because I knew you were going to ask me that, the worst that ever happened is a guy that I played bass with the band I had in college, we were spinning around, kind of just acting goofy, you know, heavy metal type stuff, and the head of my guitar went into the body of his bass guitar.
Right.
And we both sort of pulled our hands away because we didn't really want to get hurt. And it went bong, and it kind of like felt like somebody picked up the building and dropped it. You know, because both our amps were turned up to 11.
Yeah.
You know, that was really the worst that ever happened. We quickly grabbed the strings and everybody went, ah! Welcome to rock. Goodness forbid you can actually play.
Right.
Welcome to the bottom of the hour. I'm Joe Burns.
Chad P.
Let us do 7 days and 70 seconds. And then I have a fantastic story about Bret Michaels right after this. Monday, February 21, Sunday, February 27th. Chad, what happened on Monday?
Well, Monday, February 21 in 1970, Simon and Garfunkel's A Bridge Over Troubled Water entered the charts and started a 126-week run.
And you know, I don't really care for the song.
Why?
It's just too slow and boring for me. They've got better songs.
Somebody liked it.
I'll bet you. Tuesday, February 22nd, 1976, original Supreme Florence Ballard dies in a hospital in Detroit, Michigan from a heart attack at the young age of 32.
February 23rd, just 5 years ago, the iTunes Music Store sold its 1 billionth song. Not a million, a billion.
They've already gone to 10 billion.
Already?
Yeah, really.
Just 5 years later.
Believe it or not.
Woo.
Thursday, February 24th, 1976, the Eagles' Greatest Hits becomes the first album in history to achieve the newly created status of platinum for over 1 million sales.
Platinum. February 25th, 25 years ago in 1986, the benefit single We Are the World wins Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and two other awards at the Grammys.
Saturday, Feb 26, 1987, the first Beatles album is released on CD. And then Sunday, February 27th, 20 years ago, the Godfather of Soul, James Brown, is released from a South Carolina prison after serving 3 years of a six-year sentence.
Feb.
Yeah.
Is the word so long you had to dumb it down?
February. I'll even pronounce the R there for you.
Wow.
Bret Michaels.
I like Bret Michaels. I don't want any embarrassing stories about Bret Michaels.
Well, apart from having and surviving a brain aneurysm, which, by the way, gives him the ability to claim I am, you know, bulletproof.
Yeah, man.
Bret also took one for the team during the Grammy Awards in 2009. He was performing Nothing But a Good Time, right? This was because the show Rock of Ages was up for a Grammy.
Okay.
He failed to realize that he wasn't supposed to be standing where he was.
Uh-oh.
And down comes a set from the flies, you know, up above where the stage is. He was supposed to be standing 10 feet back from where he was. And a half-ton set that was coming down lands right on top of his head.
Ow.
Look it up on YouTube. It's brilliant. He needed something like 15 stitches to close his head
brilliant.
Up.
Brilliant. That's how you describe
it. Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh.
When you survive, it's great. Boom. Right on top of his head. Here is Nothing But a Good Time. Bret Michaels and the rest of the guys from Poison. Rock School. Cool, as we talk about stages being a very, very dangerous place. Patti Smith, you know Patti Smith?
Sure do.
January 23rd, 1977, she's touring in support of Radio Ethiopia. Dancing on a high stage in Tampa, Florida, falls 25 feet into an orchestra pit. Broke several neck vertebra. Can you believe that?
Man.
Survives, can walk, the whole schmeal. That could have killed her. I mean, could have really killed her. How many times have you seen pictures of fans running on stage? And normally it's kind of funny.
Once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, the fan wants to get a hug of the person, and a roadie comes running out and grabs the fan and, you know, get off him.
That's a nice way of saying it. They tackle him is what they do.
Yeah.
They bum rush him.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody goes, and it's really great and funny and all that.
Sure.
Dig this.
Okay.
The Mothers, as in Frank Zappa's band,
Frank Zappa, yeah,
are playing at the Rainbow Theater in London. During the encore, some audience member runs up on stage and attempts to grab Frank Zappa. Now, the question is, did Zappa fall or did this person push him? Some say he fell, some say she pushed him. Well, he fell into the orchestra pit and is knocked unconscious. Several serious fractures, head trauma to his back, his leg, and his neck, and a crushed larynx.
He crushed his larynx?
His larynx. It causes his voice to literally drop by a third after hearing. He performs in a wheelchair for close to a year.
Oh my gosh.
After this is over. And the leg that gets fractured, has to have so many pins that it's actually, when the healing process is over, shorter than the other leg. And for the rest of his life, he walks with a pronounced limp.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding you not.
How'd you like to be that fan?
In the song Dancing Fool, where he makes the statement, one of my legs is shorter than the other.
Yeah.
He's not kidding. One of his legs is shorter than the other one because of what this fan did back in 1971.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Mm. And here is Frank Zappa, Dancing Fool, because one of my legs is shorter than the other one, and both of my feet's too long. Rock school. Rock School, yeah. Talking about the stage being a dangerous place.
I think they put up a sign or something.
Yeah, on the way onto the stage.
Caution.
Yeah, caution. Stage may do damage to you.
Yeah.
Let me describe two people that we're not going to play. Grover Washington Jr.
What happened to Grover?
I think the big one you'll remember from him is just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
December 17th, 1999, he is taping four songs for the Saturday early show at CBS Studios in New York City.
Yeah.
He just collapsed and died. He's just playing right along. He's a saxophonist.
Yeah.
Bump, 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 bump.
Boom.
Down.
Really?
And that's that. And he died right there. Are you familiar with Arthur Brown, as in the crazy world of Arthur Brown? I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire. Bump, bump, bump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, he used to come on stage with a crown that was fed by a pipe that had gas coming to it, and fire was shooting out of the top of his head.
When are you people going to learn?
Yeah, the problem is, much like Michael Jackson, it caught his head and his hair on fire, and he didn't know it for a while. So he's walking out on stage, and he has this huge cape on and all of that,
right.
And he's tackled by the people who are, you know, roadieing for him. The problem is, this gas is still shooting out, and the fire continues to grow as they're patting him down. And you've got a fire that's being fed by a gas. And finally, somebody went, we should probably turn off the gas, don't you think? When they turned off the gas, the fire was extinguished. But there for a little while, Arthur Brown was in big trouble of being, you know, a torch on stage.
Why is it that anytime we describe someone having an aha moment, their tone completely changes?
They turn into sort of the
Simpsons
warbly
character.
Voice guy talking like this.
Right.
I don't know. Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain, they run the radio show and they're good people.
As does WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin, and they don't talk like this.
No, they don't. Not at all. Get us in one more minute and we'll tell you some more stories about all the fine people who have had trouble on stage. Rock School. Let me give you one more before I get to the one I'm going to play here on Rock School. Curtis Mayfield. I know we've done this beforehand. Curtis Mayfield had huge success with the blaxploitation films of the 1970s, Superfly, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In 1990, a lighting rig fell on him at an outdoor New York show, leaving him paralyzed. Didn't kill him, but left him paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the one we're going to play. Leslie Harvey. He's with Stone the Crows.
Mm-hmm.
He has also come up on this show before because he's a member of the 27 Club.
That's right.
He died in 1972. Now, earlier on, we talked about the guy from Kiss, Ace Frehley, who somebody didn't ground the system correctly. And again, you know, little bar bands, they're running off of, you know, what comes out of the wall.
Sure.
But these guys who have full stage setups that are playing,
power.
You're dealing with a draw of amperage that is insane just to run the lights. And if this isn't grounded and set correctly, bad things happen. Well, it had rained. And Stone the Crows was playing at a place called Swansea Top Rank. I have no idea where it is. I'm assuming it's somewhere over in the UK. Okay? He was singing and his hands were wet and he walked up and touched a microphone that wasn't grounded. And he completed the circuit and boop, that was that.
Wow.
That died right there on stage. Just collapsed and it was over. From the album Ode to John Law, this is Mad Dog and Englishman. In case you're wondering, the female voice that's singing is Maggie Bell out in front. Here you go. Here's Stone the Crows on Rock School. All right, last break on Rock School. We've had a little bit of fun talking about people that had falls on stage and all that. And we've talked about people that had deaths on stage.
Uh-huh.
And if you were thinking about people who died on stage, this person probably jumped into your mind.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and end the show on a downer.
Yeah.
Negative Nestor, I'm going to start calling
Negative
you.
Nestor?
Mm-hmm.
Nelly or Neil wouldn't have done it. Nestor?
They're overused.
Okay.
You remind me of a Nestor.
Dimebag Daryl Abbott.
Yes.
Dies on December 8th, 2004. And by the way, I can't do this as quickly as it's written here in this little news story, so I'm just going to go ahead and quickly read it off. He's performing on stage with Damage Plan at the Alralsa Village in Columbus, Ohio.
Correct.
The gunman was a guy by the name of Nathan Gale, shoots Abbott 6 times, killing him instantly. Gale then continues shooting, killing 4 others, wounding a further 7. Gale fires a total of 15 shots. He's able to actually stop and reload once, remaining silent through the shooting. Now, people did try to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Mayhem Thompson, the head of the band security, is killed trying to tackle Gale, as is Alralsa Villa employee Ethan Hawk. Audience member Nathan Bray is killed trying to perform CPR on both men.
Mm-hmm.
It was rumored that one of the crowd members is killed because he simply leaps in front of the gunman, saving the lives of some of the band members. Damage Plan drum technician John Cat Brooks is shot 3 times as he attempts to get away from Gale, but was overpowered and taken hostage in a headlock position. Tour manager Chris Paluska, I believe, is also injured. So the guy just stood there and boom, 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 fired away.
I don't
away.
Think they ever figured out what his motive was.
No, he's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I hate, that doesn't answer the question enough for the people who are left behind.
Right.
But insane. Why did the guy do all that shooting in Tucson?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he shoot the representative? He's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a better answer.
Yeah.
But he's insane. So that wraps up our show, and we'll go out with Pantera, Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week, so celebrate the life of Dimebag Daryl. And by the way, a guitar is buried with him, a guitar from Eddie Van Halen, because the two of them were very, very good friends.
For those of you who are listening,
yes,
the next time you plan to go on a stage,
yes,
just remember,
be careful.
Please.
Be careful. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Class is dismissed.